Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Some of the medical marijuana dispensary applicants removed from the list of Massachusetts finalists last week are blaming their disqualification on unwilling banks. They say the problem is a result of the divide between federal and state law when it comes to medical marijuana. WBUR's Lynn Joliker explains.
John Green says his rejection by the state after a year of work to open a medical marijuana dispensary came as a shock.
We weren't ready for it, and we were completely disappointed and stunned.
Green had made a lot of progress previously. He had submitted applications for three dispensaries in November and learned from the state in January he could proceed with plans for one in Cambridge and reapply for a new location for one of his other ones. In that initial application, he included bank statements showing he had the required $1.3 million to fund the center's startup. But in a letter to Green on Friday, DPH details its concern that Green then quickly withdrew the funds and returned them to his investors in November. Green says he had no choice.
Once the initial application went in, it went public, the president at the bank just said, hey, listen, we're not going to keep your funds in here. This is only temporary. So we immediately started looking at other banks.
In fact, he says a total of four banks rejected him. Medical marijuana is legal at the state level, but not at the federal level, and banks are federally regulated.
A lot of banks did not feel comfortable basically having oversight over what is viewed as federally illegal. We've always maintained the financial resources necessary. I don't think we should be, you know, punished for federal banking institutions that are just out of our control. We've worked hard, we've put a lot of passion into it, and you know, we know we want to fight.
Green says he gave DPH letters from three of the banks showing he was rejected, and he's waiting for a letter from the fourth. And he gave the state letters from his investors showing they were holding the funds as custodians for Greenway. But DPH says those letters were written in early June, and bank statements show, quote, Greenway did not have the requisite funds in its control and available since submission of its applications. Green says he will appeal the DPH decision. Another dispensary team backs up the complaints about banking problems.
Every dispensary has had a very difficult time establishing a banking relationship.
That's Ernie Corrigan, a spokesman for Brighton Health Advocates, which was provisionally approved in January to proceed with a dispensary, Compassionate Care Clinics in Fairhaven. But the company was among the six teams that found out Friday it now would not be receiving a provisional certificate of registration. In its letter rejecting the company, DPH says Brighton Health Advocates withdrew $144,000 of the $500,000 in required funds from Rockland Trust after filing its second round of applications. When asked for explanation, the company responded that the bank had, quote, communicated a policy of non-acceptance of companies involved in marijuana for medical use.
Investors who were putting in hundreds of thousands of dollars into these accounts, you worry about the prospect that the federal government might decide to seize these funds in federally chartered banks because they can. That's an unfair burden to put onto these businesses.
DPH says Brighton Health refused to provide complete documentation from the bank. WBUR has asked Rockland Trust for comment on its involvement with both Brighton Health and Greenway Wellness Foundation. An even bigger factor in DPH's rejection of Brighton Health Advocates may have been the company's plan to divert a large percentage of its revenue to a for-profit arm of the company, thereby, according to DPH, violating the requirement that the dispensary be not-for-profit. Again, Ernie Corrigan.
We have probably the lowest overhead, the lowest salaries, and the most amount of money that was going to be donated back into the community of any of the applicants. So any suggestion that there was an excessive amount of profit being rolled into individual pockets, that's an issue we could have cleared up.
Corrigan says the dispensary planned to donate 35% of net revenues to local nonprofits to fight alcohol and drug abuse and school absenteeism, and it changed its corporate structure in response to the state's concerns. The company is still deciding whether to appeal or wait and start fresh when a new round of dispensary applications opens next year. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.